Good morning. Today's daf in Moed Katan is daf Chaf. We're on Yetes, though. We're going to go back to the Mishnah on Yetes Amud Aleph. Puts us a little bit behind, but that's okay. I saw that. I cheated also. I looked ahead. Okay, we'll try to catch up to where we should be. Okay, we thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf daf Lubin Lona Zechanish Maslos Lubin Zaltzman. We begin at the Mishnah again. If you bury a mace 3 days before Yontif, so again, we're going to be speaking primarily about Avelos over the next week of Gemara, week and a half actually. And in the course of the discussion, so we're going to be discussing some basic issues regarding Avelos, and our Mishnah is dealing with a scenario of how Avelos is treated in light of Yontif. So the Mishnah tells us that when it comes to Avelos, so as long as you experience a little bit of Avelos before Yontif, so Yontif is going to come and Yontif is going to break the Avelos. Our Mishnah is of the opinion that you need 3 days. And it has to have 3 days. You have to experience 3 days of Avelos prior to Yontif. If you experience 3 days, so then and only then will Yontif come to break the Avelos. Anything short of 3 days, according to our Mishnah, and that's not sufficient. So if you observe 2 days or one day of Avelos prior to Yontif, so Yontif is not going to break the Avelos. So what happens then to Avelos? So we're going to see later this morning, according to our Mishnah. It's not the halacha. But according to our Mishnah, what's going to happen is that if you only observe 1 or 2 days before Yontif, so then you're going to have to make up the rest of Shiva after Yontif. Okay, we're going to come back to that. That's going to be a point we're going to discuss later. And again, all this is not according to halacha, because the halacha is that any amount of Avelos observed before Yontif, Yontif will break the Avelos. We'll talk more about that later on this morning as well. The Mishnah continues, Bala min gzeira shiva. Right, okay. So our Mishnah says that if you observe 3 days of Yontif, Yontif will break the Avelos, but specifically Shiva. Shmona, now if we observe 8 days prior to Yontif, Balohim and Exer Shloshim. So then Yontif is going to break and Yontif will break Shloshim. As we discussed already yesterday, and you know, it's one of the basic ideas that we need to know, is that when a person loses his 7 relatives, so there's going to be a period of Shiva and a period of Shloshim. And the Shloshim is subsumed within the Shiva, so it's not another 30 days, it's 7, and then in the next stage that he's in is Shloshim. Shiva, we'll go over all the halachas over the course of time, and we see most of the halachas already. During Shiva, you can't work, you can't launder, you can't bathe, you can't get a haircut, right? A lot of can'ts. The dues during Shiva, you must take off your shoes, although you can count that as a don't. You gotta take off your shoes, you gotta overturn your bed, kfiyas hamita. Okay, there's a whole series. Atifah, right? No, it's good. Atifah's Rosh, right? We talked about it all in the beginning of the third parak. Atifah's Rosh, okay. So those are all the nihuge of Shiva. And then what about Shloshim? So Shloshim is primarily defined by no laundry and no haircut. Those are your primary restrictions during the Shloshim, during the 30-day period. So if you observed 8 days prior to Yontif, so now you're past Shiva, and now you're into Shloshim, so now what Yontif is going to do is Yontif is going to break Shloshim. And then there's a statement in the Mishnah, which is Shabbos is Oleh, counts as one of the days of Shiva. Every time you experience Shiva, so there's going to be Shabbos there, it has to be, it's a 7-day period. So however you count your 7 days, Shabbos is going to be one of those 7 days. So therefore it counts, and it's Neinu Mafsek, and Shabbos is not going to break Shiva. Interesting discussion, why isn't Shabbos going to break Shiva? So the simple answer is because, right, because then there'll never be Shiva. Right, that's a simple answer, meaning that if Shabbos were to break your Shiva, so then you'd be observing 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, whatever the case is, but there never will be a Shiva. That's a simple answer. The somewhat more sophisticated answer is that there's something within the nature of Yontif that you don't have within Shabbos. There's a simcha aspect of Yontif that you don't necessarily have by Shabbos. Shabbos is a day of relaxation, an oneg, right, and day to enjoy, but the simcha element that you don't have by Shabbos, that's another way to say it. But either way, again, all this intuitively we know, but the Mishnah spells it out. Shabbos is counts towards Shiva, and it's not going to break Shiva. Regalim mafsikin ve'einan olim. But when it comes to Yontif, it stops, meaning if Shiva or Shloshim goes into Yontif, it will break it, the Einan Olin, and it will not count. Now, what does that mean it won't count? So, Rachman Otzlan, a person loses one of the Krovim on Yontif itself. When I say on Yontif, it could be actually on the day of Yontif. It could be Chol HaMoed, it could be the last day of Yontif. Either way, a person loses a Karav on Yontif itself, so that means now that Shiva is going to be totally delayed. Meaning there will be days you bury right away, right? That we learned earlier on Yontif, you could bury Ali De Amimin, you could non-Jews can bury, or Yontif Sheni. The Gemara says you can bury yourself, so that's not our practice, but fine. Cholam Moed, so there's no restriction to burial, and not only is there no restriction, it's a mitzvah to bury right away. So you'll bury over the course of Yontif, and then you're going to have just very strange days between the burial and when Shiva actually starts. And again, they're strange days because it's Yontif. And Yontif, there's no Avelus. So you're going to just simply wait from the time of burial until when Yontif is over. And then after Yontif, then and only then, do you start observing Shiva. That's the point of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says it's Eino Ola. No days of Yontif are going to be counting towards Shiva. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Shechar Beis HaMikdash, Atzeres Kishabbos. Rabbi Elazar is of the opinion that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so Atzeres Shavuos is going to be treated like Shabbos. Meaning, it is a little complicated, but meaning, when it comes to Yontif, Yontif is going to break Shiva. Yontif is going to break Shiva because Yontif is always going to be a seven-day affair. Right, always. By Pesach it's 7 days, Sukkot, you can count even one more day, it's 8 days, but Yontif is always a seven-day event. So Yontif is going to break the Shiva because Yontif is already going to be 7 days. What about Shavuos? Right, Shavuos is interesting. It's Yontif, but it's 1 day. So how is Avelus going to react to Shavuos? So when there was the Beis HaMikdash, so Shavuos would break the Avelus. Why? Why should that be? And the answer is because even though the day of Shavuos, the Yontif of Shavuos is only 1 day, but there's Yemei Hashlama, there's Tashlumin. If you don't bring your carbon on day one of Shavuos, you still have a week to go to bring your carbon. So, which is why the minhag is after Shavuos, we don't say Tachanun, a week after Shavuos. So in other words, there's Yemei Tashlumin. So, Shavuos, even though it's 1 day, it's still fundamentally a 7 day event because there's this halach of Tashlumin. What Rabbi Eliezer is arguing is, that's true when there was a Beis HaMikdash. Because when there's a Beis HaMikdash, then you can actually see the 7 days after Shavuos, meaning the Tashlumim can be actualized. But Rabbi Eliezer argues that after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, so Shavuos now is just a one-day event. And because it's only a one-day event, it will not break Avelus. That's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Gamliel, Amar Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippur m'kiragalim, and Rabbi Gamliel takes the position, which is that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are going to be treated like Yontif. Meaning, just like Yontif is going to break Avelus, so will Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. They're also going to be treated like a regal vis-a-vis this halacha. V'chachamim marmim lo k'divrei zeh v'lo k'divrei zeh. Now the Chachamim reject both sides of this argument. They reject Rabbi Eliezer and they reject Rabbi Gamliel. Alat Seres k'regalim Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippur m'kishabbos. But rather the position they take is that Shavuos is like Yontif, even after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Because Shavuos, you're right, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we can't offer a Karban not on Shavuos and not the 7 days after Shavuos as well. All that's true, but Shavuos is still Shavuos, meaning the day itself hasn't changed, it's still a Yontif, and so therefore it's going to break Avelus even after Churban Beis HaMikdash. What about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? So Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, according to the Chachamim, are going to be treated like Shabbos, meaning Avelus will not be broken by either Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur. Okay. Adkan Divrei HaMishnah. Let's go in the Gemara. We're on the bottom of Yutas Amad Aleph. We're starting now. Amar Rav Gzeres Batlu Yamim Labalu. V'chein Amar Rav Huna Gzeres Batlu Yamim Labalu. Okay, a difficult line to understand in of itself. We got to read on the Gemara, but just to translate literally, the decree, it will be nullified, but the days will not be. Rav Huna says the same thing. The decree is nullified, but not the days. Okay, we'll come back and explain what that means in just a moment. Rav Sheshes Amar Afilu Yamim Nami Balu, and Rav Sheshes says, no, even the days themselves are going to be nullified. Okay, now what does all this mean? So let's go on to the Gemara. My Tami Yamim Lo Balu. What does that mean? Again, we are trying to explain the position of Rav and the position of Rav Huna. So it means as follows. So, and when the Gemara here says my time, the Gemara doesn't actually mean what's the reason, but what does he mean by that? So my time yomim labalu shim lo gilech erev haregel also legaleach achar haregel. Let's say like this. Let's say that you became a novel before Yontif, but now Yontif is coming in the middle of your Avelus. Okay, let's say like our Mishnah. Okay, you have already observed 3 days of Avelus before Yontif. And now Yontif comes, so now we know what's going to happen. Yontif is going to break your Avelus. What does that entitle you to do? It entitles you to get a haircut. Shave, get a haircut. Okay, now. Right, basically get ready for Yom Tov. Let's say you don't avail yourself to that. So according to Rav, if you don't avail yourself to that, so then you're still going to be an Ava. You will not be afforded the opportunity to shave and get a haircut during Yom Tov. After Yom Tov, meaning basically all of Shloshim. Okay. Just one correction. I'm sorry, we're not talking about the... Right, one correction. Okay, an important correction. Okay, we're not talking about the days of Shiva, we're talking about the days of Shloshim. Right, that makes... Good.
Why did they have a meaning that he would be allowed to? For what? Because, you know, before the Yom Tov, I can understand, but Yom Tov, he wants to be looked presented.
Right.
But what's a have a meaning that he would be allowed...
No, I'm sorry. Let me just one important correction. Not Shiva, but rather we're talking about Shloshim. So in other words, Shloshim came. In other words, he finishes Shiva. Shloshim comes. It comes up to Yontiv. So if he doesn't shave and get a haircut for Yontiv, so then Shloshim will continue even after Yontiv, and he still can't get a haircut and shave even after Yontiv. Meaning, according to Rav, if he doesn't avail himself to the opportunity of shaving before Yontiv, so Shloshim is still going to be enforced. That's basically the opinion of Rav and the opinion of Rav Huna. They have the Hatayu, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Okay, not clear, right? The Rashi and Tosafot both say that this Braisa over here is going to serve as a support. Okay, to whose opinion? I guess we'll see in just a moment. But the Hakovers Meso Shoshim and Kodun LaRegel Balei Menek Zira Shiva. If a person buries his death 3 days before Yontiv, so then Shiva will be broken by Yontiv. Shmoni Yamim. Now, if it was 8 days before Yontiv, Kodun LaRegel Balei Menek Zira Shloshim. So then Shloshim is going to be broken by Yontiv. So and he should shave before Yantiv, and then the Braisa says, and this is the key line, im lo gilech ever erev haregel, also lagaleach achar haregel. And if he doesn't shave before Yantiv, so then he cannot shave after Yantiv. Abishal Omer mutal lagaleach achar haregel. Abishal disagrees. He says, no, you're allowed to shave after Yantiv. Shekashem shemitzvah shloshim mevatal k'zer shiva kach mitzvah shiva. Mevatel Gzer Shloshim. Okay, and Abishal is of the opinion that, look, just like we said that a Yontif is going to break Shiva, Yontif is also going to break Shloshim as well. Okay, period. During Yontif itself, there's no Nehugim of Avelos. We mentioned earlier, there is a debate between the Rambam and the Ramban. During Yontif, if somebody had a Karav die on Yontif itself, so then what exactly is the status of that person during Yontif? That's the debate between the Rambam. And the Rambam says zero avails during Yontif. Zero. Rambam says
no.
All those things.
Yeah.
Right. And the Rambam says he has to observe Dvarim Shebetzina. Okay. But we are right. We are right now dealing with where the avail started before Yontif. So when it starts before Yontif, so again the Braisa says a debate between the Tanaim. But the Braisa says that as long as he has observed either 3 or 7 days, Yontif is going to break. And Yontif will break where, at least according to Abishal, that means then that even if he started Shloshim before Yontif, and he even if he didn't avail himself to shaving before Yontif, Yontif is going to break the Shloshim.
The question I'm asking is if he observes the 3 days of avail before Yontif,
right,
he's still in the Shloshim.
Yeah, correct.
So on Chol HaMoed, didn't take a haircut.
I see.
Cholamoed,
right. Now, well, Cholamoed, you can't get a haircut anyway. Yeah. Meaning, right.
They, but shower.
Right, correct. Showering he can do. In other words, during Shloshim, you can shower.
But he's not actually. He's technically still in the 7 days.
Right, correct. But Yontif is going to, no, Yontif will break it. Yontif will break the Shiva. In other words, he's not, from a Shiva perspective, he's not novel anymore. Okay, from a Shloshim, he is. Okay, one small detail which the Gemara is going to pick up on. And that is, according to Abishal, if you observe 7 days before Yontif, so it's going to break your Shloshim. 7 days? What do you mean? 8 days. Right? Our Mishnah said that you have to observe 8 days. 7 to finish your Shiva, and then you have to be into your Shloshim period in order for Yontif to break your Shloshim. And according to this Bryce over here, if you observe 7 days, so that means that you started your Shloshim. What does that mean, you started your Shloshim? You're not starting your Shloshim until day 8.
So they come.
Okay, good. You knew the answer already. So
I forget it before.
I understand. Sometimes the Gemara repeats.
Oh, okay.
It happens. Shiva v'ha'anan shmona tanan. Kasav rabba shol. Mikset sayam kekulo v'yam shvi ol 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 kan. So the Gemara gives the answer, which we as Phil points out correctly, we already saw before, but I set ourselves up again, and that is that Abishal is of the opinion, Miksasa Yom Kikulo, that when we talk about Shiva, the seventh day of Shiva is not a full day, a partial day. If you observe just a portion of the day, you have satisfied your obligation of Shiva, and now the rest of the seventh day is Shloshim. And since the rest of the seventh day is Shloshim, so that means then that if you are on day seven and now the next day is Yontif, Yontif is not breaking Shiva because Shiva is over. Yontif is breaking Shloshim. Good. By the way, Phil, you made a suggestion that Shloshim should really be 29 days and not 30 days. Right. It's right. Right. So it's discussed in the Rishonim. And I was insistent that it's not. Okay. I did a little more research. There are Rishonim who argue that according to Abishal it's going to be 29 days. But most Rishonim reject that opinion. But certainly what to consider. That no, whatever.
It's mathematics.
I understand. I hear you. Amar Rav Chista. We are continuing the Gemara. You tell someone days right about a third of the way down the page. Amar Rav Chista. Amar Ravina. Barshila halacha Abishal. So that's the halacha. Halacha falls like Abishal. Again, in the world of avails, we're going to be mekel. Certainly by the Tanaim, meaning any debate amongst the Tanaim, you're going to see this again and again throughout the third paragraph. Anytime Tanaim argue, even if a Tanaim takes a minority position, but he's Mekel, we're going to adopt the Mekel position. Is that also true by Amoraim? So Tosfos has that discussion. I mentioned that earlier. But okay, anyway, let's go on. So the halach is like Abishal, so that means on day seven, it's Ola Lakan Ola Lakan. Once you observe part of day seven, you finish your Avelos, and then the rest of day seven is already now your Inter Shloshim. Correct. In other words, that's it. In other words, they're finished. Now, here's an area where the Chacham would even agree to Abishal, which is strange that the Gemara points it out right now, because we just established that the Halacha falls like Abishal, but still, the Chachamim who are Marmachmer are going to agree in the following scenario, where if, let's say, you have the eighth day of his observance is going to fall out on a Shabbos, which also happens to be Erev Yantav, so that Shemot Legalech Be'er Shabbos. So there the Chachamim will say that you can shave on Erev Shabbos. Even though Erev Shabbos represents for him day 7, Shabbos is day 8, but the reason why even the Chachamim would agree is because we know that going into Yantav, in other words, we're just simply forecasting a little bit. We know Yantav is going to break. What is Yantav going to break? Well, it's not going to break Shiva. Shiva will be over by the time Yantav comes around. So Yantav is going to break Shloshim. So knowing that that's going to happen with a little bit of forecasting, so now on Friday what he can do is he can shave, even according to the Chachamim. Again, we don't need that, meaning, because we hold like Abishal. So even if it were Shabbos were day 7, you can shave on Erev Shabbos. Okay. Kamaraz Lahadamar Vamar Amarab Avo Kemishandu Menachmi Matzlomot Brechitza. The Gemara quotes a statement by Rav Amram in the name of Rav that once the mourners leave on the seventh morning of his avelus, so mutar brechitza. So now at that point in time, he can bathe. Kevan kabashal. So the Gemara says, okay, good. That's going on kabashal. So again, more evidence that mixes the yom kikulo is the accepted position. Amar Abai halacha kabashal biyom shiva. Abai says halacha zakabashal. Umodim chacham kabashal biyom shloshim. I mean, it mixes the yom kikulo. The area where there will be agreement is on day 30. Where on day 30, we'll say Mixas Yom Kikulo. Again, for 30 days after the Misa, so the Avel is prohibited from getting a haircut and doing laundry. So so that last day, day 30, we're going to, even the Chachamim would agree Mixas Yom Kikulo. Rav Amar Halachat Abishal B'Yom Shoshim, Ein Halachat Abishal B'Yom Shiva. Rav says Halachat Abishal when it comes to day 30, but not on day 7. Unehardai Amru, and the yeshiva of Nehardai says Halachat Abishal, Bizu Ubizu. The Halachat Abishal makes us Yom Kikulo, both for the conclusion of Shiva and for the conclusion of Shloshim. Damashmo Halachat Kareya Kedivere Maka Ba'aval, because that's the Halacha. We follow the more lenient position when it comes to Avils. Okay. Shloshim Minalan. Okay, this is typically, classically how the Gemara works, where we go into some very detailed halachas about how to count 7, how to count 30, what happens when Yontav meets, day 7, day 30, Mixas Yom Kikulo, we get into the minutia of the halacha, and then the Gemara just takes a lens and brings it back, and now we're going to discuss some of the larger issues. How do we know about Shloshim? Right, simple question, meaning where does this idea of Shloshim come from? So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, So, Yalla Perapara mi Nazir, we learn it out based on Xerisha from Nazir. It says regarding Aaron after they lost Nadav and Avihu. So, Roshechem al Tifro, don't cut your hair. Don't let your hair grow. Uksiv Hasam, Gedal Paraseir. And it says regarding the Nazir, you gotta let your hair grow. Meaning the Nazir's obligation is to allow the hair to grow out. So Malahalan Shoshim Afkan Shoshim. So we know by Nazir, minimum amount of time that a Nazir is for 30 days. So when Aaron together with his sons were told to not let the hair grow out, meaning get a haircut, it means that the normal state of Avelis is gonna be Shloshim, it's gonna be 30 days. Where the Avel's not allowed to get a haircut, but you are to get a haircut. Now, how do we know that the minimum number of days for a Nazir is 30? So Amar Rav Masna, Stam Nazir, Shloshim Yom. Because if you say Nazir, then you want specified 30 days. My time, Amar Kar Kodesh, Yiyah, Yiyah, B'Gamashria, Talsin. It's one of those very unusual scenarios in the Gemara where Gamashria results in a halacha. Meaning Gamashria is a gadata, it's medrash, it's homiletics. But one of the few times, I can't come up with another one off the top of my head. One of the few times in halacha where gematria results in halacha. So anyway, but the stam nazir is 30 days. So we know now that the word para, as described by a nazir, is 30. So we know that when Aaron and the sons were told not to allow the hair to grow, it means for 30 days. Which then brings us to the next point, that for a regular avel, it means that you have to let your hair grow for 30 days. Amar Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua Kol Modim Kishachal Shlishi Sholios Erev Arego She'asu Berechitza Ad Ha'erev. So everyone's in agreement that when the third day comes out on an Erev Yantav, that you cannot bathe until the evening Ad Ha'erev. Okay, now that's it's an interesting line. Yeah, so very good. So it's an interesting line. It's a strange line, because essentially now what the Gemara is saying is that, look, we know Yantav is going to break your Avelos. At the same time, however, it's not like day 7. On day 7, so you terminate your Avelos in the morning. Once you finish with once the comforters leave, so then you get up from your Avelos. But we're not talking about day 7, we're talking about day 3. And what's going to terminate your Avelos is going to be Yontif. But here, the Gemara says that if it's Yontif that's terminating your Avelos, so you cannot bathe until Erev. Now, Erev means evening. Okay, good. So does the Gemara actually mean that you have to wait till night to bathe? And if that's what the Gemara means, we're talking about bathing on Yontif. Okay, that's strange. So you take a look at Tosfos over here. First, let's take a look at Rashi. Sorry. Let's go in order. So let's first take a look at Rashi. Asu berechitza ad ha'erev, Rashi writes, Devada shlosh shleimim b'inan. So for sure you need 3 full days. Ad ha'erev v'l'erev rochets b'tzonen. So Rashi says, so what are you going to do that evening? You're going to bathe? You're going to bathe in cold water, says Rashi. It's Yontif. There is a rabbinic decree not to bathe in hot water on Shabbos or on Yontif, so you're going to be bathing in cold water. Or, Rashi says, maybe what the Gemara means, is that all the Gemara means is that you can't bathe that day. You'll bathe at night, meaning the next available opportunity to bathe, which will be Chol HaMoed. That's Rashi's understanding. Take a look at Tosfos. Tosfos makes a couple of other suggestions in terms of when exactly you're going to be bathing. So he quotes Rashi, Tosus divra maschal she'asu berechitza ad ha'erev perish b'kunshus l'erev yachol erchotz gufo b'tzonein inami panav yadav v'ragla. So a couple suggestions, says Tosfos. Tosfos says either that night you're going to be bathing in cold, or you can be using hot water. The rabbinic prohibition of bathing on Shabbos and Yontif is only your entire body. But if it's just segments of your body, hands, feet, face, that doesn't mean specifically hands, feet, face, it just simply means segments of your body. Okay, fine, so that's another suggestion. That maybe what it means is that bathing parts of your body in hot water. Inami, yeshlafarish b'chamit Tveria. Another suggestion, says Tosfos, using chamit Tveria, the natural hot springs of Tveria, which at one point were not under the rabbinical ban. Inami, lishtof mutter. Or, says Tosfos, take a shower, because the rabbinic ban doesn't cover showers. Okay, and then Tosfos gives a number of other suggestions as well. So basically,
what's the difference between a shower and a bath?
Right, great. So obviously it turns into a very practical halachic discussion. As you know, I'm not the address for that, but in other words, but Tosfos says that even though there's a rabbinic ban not to bathe on hot water and Yontif, but showering would be okay. Now, what's the difference between bathing and in other words, it's a gzera derabanan, and the gzera derabanan was applied, was only applicable to one and not the other.
But halakhically, how do they look on?
No, it's not. The reason why you're not allowed to bathe in hot water, the rabbis made a ban, is because if you bathe in hot water, you're going to come heat it up on Shabbos and on Yontif. Now, on Shabbos, you heat it up, that's a malacha, that's bishul. On Yontif, it gets a little trickier. Meaning, if you were to heat it up on Yontif, so we have ochel nefesh, you're allowed to heat up water on Yontif, and mitoch shehosho letzorch hoshanam shelo letzorch, and we know that if you're allowed to heat it up for food purposes, you're allowed to heat it up for other enjoyable purposes. So the argument would be a very simple argument to construct that you're allowed to heat up water on Yontif in order to bathe. But the Gemara says, Tosfos says a couple places, that it's not shavu l'chol nefesh. Right? From our standpoint, in our culture, in our society, it's a difficult argument to hear. It's an eino shavu l'chol nefesh. It's not enjoyed by everybody. But still, the gzera derabanan, there's a gzera derabanan. The gzera doesn't change. So so bathing in hot water is still rabbinically prohibited. Showering, the Gemara says that wasn't under the rabbinic ban. Okay, but showering, okay, whatever. So it turns into more discussion, but just it's an interesting point by Tosos, and you want to shower on Yontif, you'll speak to your local Rav. Okay, but yeah. Okay, fine. We are correct. I'm a Rav Nechemia Bereid Rav Yeshua Ashkechisel Rav Papa Rav Papa. The Asvi the Kamer Halacha Kerav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua. Okay, and they said that's the halacha, meaning that 3 days prior to Yontif, so you're in avails for 3 full days, and you don't get up on the morning of the third day. Igad Amri Amar Rav Nechemia Bereid Rav Yosef Ashkechisel Rav Papa Rav Papa Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua the Asvi the Kamer Kolmonim Shem Chal Shishu Shol Liyos Rav Rego Shalse Berechita Ad Ha'arav. Okay, basically same point. Just the Gemara, you know, is super careful about attribution, and so therefore, you know, gives what it thinks is the correct attribution of who said it. Bamine Abaye. So now the following question was asked from Abaye. I'm sorry, from Abaye to what we have in our Gemara is Rabba, but more probably as corrected on the side of the Gemara, Rabba, who is his Rabbi. Kavur berego, rego olol min yishloshim o ein o rego olol min yishloshim. You bury on Yontif. Now again, over here when we're discussing burying on Yontif, we mean at any point during Yontif. The first day of Yontif, Chol HaMoed, after Yontif. Now here's what we know. Again, let's remind ourselves. We know that his Shiva is not going to start until after Yontif. Okay, and by the way, the Gemara is going to discuss this later in the diaspora, in Golos. So it gets a little bit more complicated because the last day of Yontif is Yontif Sheni, which is the Derabanan, and then the question of how exactly Avelos operates at that point in time. Okay, good. That's just a more complex discussion. But right now, let's just deal with the basics. And that is that Shiva is going to start after Yontif. That's a given. Now the discussion of the Gemara goes like this. I get it that Shiva cannot count until after Yontif because you're right now in the middle of Yontif. And Yontif and Avelus, when I say Avelus right now, I mean Shiva. Yontif and Shiva cannot coexist. Okay, and so there certainly is no overlap. But the Gemara now wonders out loud. The question is, what about Shloshim? I know I can't count these days towards Shiva, but can I count the remaining days of Yontif towards Shloshim? Now, is there a contradiction between Yontif and Shloshim?
You're missing with the sequence.
Correct. You lost the sequence. But is there any contradiction between Avelus and Yontif? I'm sorry, between Shloshim and Yontif? And oddly enough, the answer is going to be no. There's no contradiction. Think about it. What can I do during Shloshim? Can't get a haircut. All right, that's right. That's true on Yontif as well as Chol HaMoed. I can't do laundry. Okay, that's true on Yontif and it's true on Chol HaMoed. So the truth of the matter is, it's odd. I understand it's odd. But in practice, Shloshim and Yontif are basically the same. I understand emotionally they are the polar opposites, but in terms of practice, they're the same. So what the Gemara now is trying to make an argument that I know Shiva doesn't start till after, but let's start Shloshim now. Let's start the count of Shloshim now. That's the Gemara's proposal. Let's see. The Gemara's going to discuss. So, let me start again. Cover Berego Rego Olo Laminyan Shloshim O Ein Rego Olo Laminyan Shloshim. Laminyan Shiva Lo Kami Baile. I know Shiva's not going to start on Yontif. Delo Naga Mitzvah Shiva Berego. You can't do it. You simply cannot do it. But because all the Nihugim of Shloshim are applicable during Yontif, as I just explained. So can we do that? Now, Ben's point is a very good one, meaning, and now we're going out of order, meaning usually Shiva then Shloshim, and now it's going to be Shloshim then Shiva. Okay, it's true, but the Gemara is still entertaining this idea. Amarle Eina Olam. So his answer was, no, doesn't count. Meaning just like Shiva won't start until after Yontiv, neither was Shloshim. That's his answer, Eisvei. Gemara quotes a Beraisa. HaKovres Meis Toshnei Yomim Kodem Rego. If a person buries 2 days before Yontiv, Monechamisha Yomim Acha Rego. So now he's going to count 5 days after Yontiv. Now I mentioned this back in the Mishnah, and I told you, now again, we don't follow this. Because our halachic conclusion is that any amount of avelos before Yontiv breaks your avelos. But this braisa is going like our Mishnah. And our Mishnah says that Yontiv will only break your avelos if you observe 3 days. If you observe anything less than 3 days, which is just two or one, those are your only two options, so then Yontiv will not break. Now what the Mishnah didn't say, and I told you this was coming up later this morning, and we're seeing it right now, so according to our Mishnah, if you observe 2 days before Yontiv, so what happens to those other 5 days? And the answer is, we're seeing it right now. Okay, it gets moved, and it gets back-ended now to after Yontif. Where now after Yontif, you're going to be finishing up your avelos. That's exactly why we're calling the brisa. Perfect. So kovetz meiso shnei yamim kodem arego mona chamishim yamim acharego umelachto nasas ayde acherim. Now, in terms of those last 5 days. So you can have work get done for you. Now, we already learned, during your Shiva, you can't work and you can't have others do work for you. Okay, with exception, but in other words, there's an Isser of Malacha. These last 5 days, we're going to be a little bit more makel regarding work. Okay? Why are we going to be a little bit more makel regarding work? Because think about now how long you've been in recess from work. You've right, 2 days already before Yontif, 7 days of Yontif, you've already been absent from work for 9 days. So here, on these last 5 days, it's a bit onerous now to have another 5 days of an absence of work. So here, even though you're observing those last 5 days, again, remember, all this is not, it's theoretical, it's not practical, we don't follow this way, but just conceptually to understand, these last 5 days, So malacha will be allowed to be done ayideh acherim, meaning you can contract others to do your work for you. The avad of shichos of osim b'tzina b'tzoch beso, and in your house privately you can have all your servants work for you as well, but privately. So in other words, work is allowed in a lower level b'tzoch beso. The ein rabbi mesaskim imo, and furthermore, you don't need to be comforted anymore. Meaning, it's again, I understand how strange all this is sounding. That for these last 5 days that you're observing after Yontif, you don't need Menachman. I mean, again, to be nice, I'm not discussing the psychological, the emotional, we're just discussing the halacha. The halacha is that for those last 5 days, they don't need to come. Shikvar, tapnao davchav, shikvar nisasku bo berego. Because they already came. Meaning, how many days of comforts have you had so far? You've had the 2 days prior to Yontif, and you had all of Yontif. Now, Yontif, you're not in avelos, but certainly somebody can come over and comfort you. And not only could that happen, people should come over and extend words of comfort to you. So you've already had the 7 days of menachem, of people coming and comforting you. So klal shel davar, back to the brisa, kol shu mishum avel rego mafsiko, v'kol shu mishum iske rabim ein rego mafsiko. So in terms of the Nihogim of Avelos that he couldn't observe on Yontif itself, so that gets back-ended now to the next 5 days after Yontif. In terms of things which he could do over Yontif, like accept comforters, so because that can happen on Yontif, so that doesn't have to happen during the last 5 days. Good. Kavru Shloshim Yomim Bisof Harego. What if he buried the last 3 days of Yontif? Meaning, the death was over the course of Yontif, Chol HaMoed, and he buried with 3 days left to go in Yontif. Mona Shiva Achar Regel. Their Shiva starts after Yontif. Arba Yamim Arishonim Rabim Mesaskimbo. Shoshi Yamim Achronim and Rabim Mesaskimbo. And again, for the Menachman, for accepting comforters, you only have to accept comforters for the first 4 days of your Shiva. Why? Because the last 3 days of Yontif, people were coming over, extending you to your words of comfort. Shikvar Nisaskimbo Regel. The Regel Olalo. The last three words of the Braisa is what we were looking for. And Regel Ololo and Yontif will count. Now, what does that mean? Regel will count. So the question on the table was, can during Yom Tov I can't observe Shiva. That part we got. Can we at least count Shloshim during Yom Tov, even though we can't count Regel? That was our question. Now, if you remember, the answer of Rabbah was, no, you can't. But meanwhile, we get to the Braisa, we get to the last three words of the Braisa, and the Braisa had two cases. The first case was when somebody died before Yom Tov. But then the second case of the Braisa was when somebody died on Yom Tov. Now, the Braisa says, Shiva gets pushed off till after Yom Tov. But then the Braisa ends off with the last three words, Regel Ololo. But Yom Tov will count. Count towards what? Not towards Shiva. So what's it going to count to? So presumably it's going to be counting towards Shloshim. Now I know the Braisa didn't utter the word Shloshim, but presumably that's what it means. And if that's what the Braisa means, that's an if that's what the Braisa means, so that would then prove that your Yom Tov can count towards Shloshim, even if you haven't started Shiva yet. So the Gemara says, my love, a sefer lo aresha. So the Gemara immediately dismisses that. Well, not dismisses it, but in other words, you don't have to make that argument. You can make a different argument. In other words, it could be that the last words of the Braisa, Regel Ololo, was going on the first case where the death occurred before Yom Tov. You started Shiva before Yom Tov. In that case, the Yom Tov can also count towards Shloshim. But in the scenario where the death occurred on Yom Tov itself, Shiva gets pushed off, as would Shloshim get pushed off. Eitz Vei, the Gemara challenges once again. Another Braisa. Regel Ololo Lemi Shloshim. Okay, this Braisa says it pretty clearly. That Regel counts towards Shloshim, Ketzad. And give me an example, the Braisa does. Kivra b'tchilas ha-regel, mona shiva achar-regel. So if you bury in the beginning of Yom Tov, so Shiva will get pushed off to after Yom Tov. U'malachta nasa sayideh acherim. And again, that heter, where during your days of Shiva, you can subcontract your work out so that the work gets done. And people can work for you privately within your own home. And in terms of accepting comforters, you don't have to because they already came on Yom Tov. And these three words, now the Bryce is only talking about one scenario, and that was the burial took place sometime over Yom Tov, and regel olalo, and those days of Yom Tov count towards Shloshim. So here this Bryce says very clearly that Yom Tov will count towards Shloshim, even though Shiva will not be observed until after Yom Tov, Tiyufta. So the Gemara says, okay, that does it. Meaning that Braisa speaks it out very clearly, that you could start counting Shloshim, even though Shiva is not going to be pushed off for some time. Ki asa Rabban Amar Rabbi Yochanan afilu kavur beregel, even if you bury on Yom Tov, v'chein ori le Rabbi Lazar le Rabbi Pedas berei, afilu kavur beregel. So if the burial takes place on Yom Tov, you can start counting Shloshim right away, and so your Shloshim will conclude from the point of burial, meaning on Yom Tov itself. Shiva will get pushed off. And so now, even though the Gemara's answer previously was that Yom Tov won't count our Shloshim, the Gemara's conclusion is Yom Tov does count our Shloshim. Shiva gets pushed off, but Shloshim starts right away. So it's interesting, and the conclusion of the Gemara is that even though generally it's Shiva then Shloshim, sequentially it could be Shloshim, and Shiva will start at a later point in time. Continuing. Tanur Rabbanu, we're in the middle of Chaf Amud Aleph. Kiyem Kfiyas Amitra Shosha Yamin Kodam Regal, Eino Tzorach Likfoso Achar Regal. Divrei Rebbe Eliezer. Now, as I mentioned already a number of times, but you haven't seen a Gemara to show that I'm right. Not a question of me being right. We just haven't seen a Gemara yet. Our halacha does not follow our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that in order for Yom Tov to break Shiva, you must observe at least 3 days of Avelos before Yom Tov. The Gemara over here quotes a Braisa, and the Braisa says that's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. V'chachamim omrim afilu yom echad afilu shah echas. Even just 1 hour, any observance of Shiva that's done prior to Yom Tov, so Yom Tov will break the Shiva. Amar v'lazer Rabbi Shimon hein and divrei Rabbi Shimon hein and divrei Beis Hillel. Shibei Shammai omrim shoshim yom v'beis Hillel omrim afilu yom echad. And the Gemara says that this machlokas can go back. Not only is it a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, it goes back to Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel, which, by the way, makes perfect sense because Rabbi Eliezer was a Shamuti. He was a student of Shammai, so it makes perfect sense that Rabbi Eliezer would be following the position of Beit Shammai. Am Rav Huna, Am Rav Chia Bar Abba, Am Rav Yochanan, Am Rila, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Le Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Le Rav Huna, Afilu Yom Echad, Afilu Shah Echad. And the Gemara concludes that that's the halacha, that any observance of Shiva done prior to Yom Tov, Yom Tov will break the remainder of Shiva. Rav Amar Halacha Ketani Didan, Damar Shlosha. Rava, interestingly enough, says that's not the halacha. The halacha follows like our Tana, like our Braisa. You need to observe at least 3 days in order for Yontif to break the Shiva. Ravina Eklastor de Pras. Ravina went to the town of Sura, which was right by the Euphrates. And again, he says that the halacha is 1 day, even 1 hour. Yes, Rabbi Chaver Abba, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, Kilah the Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar, and a grouping of Amoraim were sitting together on the porch of Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar. Nafak Milsami Benayim Minayin LaAvelus Shiva. How do I know that Avelus is 7 days? Again, one of those moments in the Gemara where the Gemara just takes a step back. In other words, we're discussing detail, in just a moment to take a step backwards and say, oh, Shiva, where does Shiva come from? So the Gemara to that, the Gemara answers, Nafak Milsam Ibanayim, I'm sorry, Minayin LaAvelus Shiva, Dechsiv, Vafachti Chagechem LaEvil. What I'm going to do, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the Navi says it through his Nevuah, is I will turn your Yontif into Avelus. So Machag Shiva Af Avelus Shiva. So just like Yontif is 7 days, so Avelus is also 7 days. Ve'emat Saras Dechad Yuma, Dechad Yuma. Okay, the Gemara says, well, okay, once we're comparing Avelus to Yontif, Shavuos is only 1 day. So the Gemara says, "Haumi bayle lechad reish lakish." Amar reish lakish. Meshum Rabbi Yehuda Nitzia. Minayin l'shmor rechokish ena noheges al yom echad. Tichsif ha'afachti chagechem la'evo. Ve'asher chanatzer tikrei chad yoma. I'm sorry, chad yoma chag. So the Gemara says, "You're right, but in the following scenario, yes, there is a scenario where avails will be 1 day, and that's what's called shmor rechoka." And the idea behind Shmor Rechoka, the Gemara now is going to springboard into Shmor Rechoka, is that if you learn about the death of one of your seven relatives after 30 days after the burial, so this is what's called the Shmor Rechoka, and there the observance of Avelus is only about 1 day. Yeah, the generic term Chag generally refers to Sukkot, but again, it's a Nevuah. So, you're right. In the Mishnah and the Gemara, you're 100% right. The Braisa refers to Sukkot just simply as Chag. The seven days of Tashlumim. Okay, it's fine. Okay, good. Again, these are, in other words, we're quoting a Pasuk and Navi, we would call these Asmachtas. Meaning, let's also consider the fact that Avelus is not Minatora. Okay, the Rambam's of the opinion that the first day of Avelus is Minatorah, but after that it's Midrabanan. So I can comfortably say that these are Asmachtas. These are just simply connections of the Dinei Derabanan to Pesukim in the Chumash, in this case the Navi. Okay, good. Tanur Rabanan. So as long as we mention Shmur Rechoka, so the Gemara now is going to take the opportunity to discuss it. Now, go back to a time, once upon a time, which is not that long ago, where communication was not as it is today. Where everyone lives now in real time, and but back then, so news traveled just the opposite of what it does today. So it's more than possible, and we're going to have story after story in the Gemara. And you don't have to go back to the time of the Gemara. You just speak to the previous generation. I'm speaking to myself right now, but speak to the previous generation, and you'll hear story upon story about learning news about the death of a relative well after the death itself. So, Tanu Rabbanan Shmuel Krova no Heges Shiva V'Shloshim. So, if it's Shmuel Krova is just the opposite of Shmuel Rechoka. It means that you heard the news within 30 days. So, if you are in a state of Shmuel Krova, so it's you heard the news, quote-unquote, fresh, so then you observe the regular Shiva V'Shloshim. Shmuel Rechoka Eino Neheges Ela Yom Echad. But if it's Shmuel Rechoka, so I guess the idea is, I'm assuming, the Gemara doesn't spell it out, but the idea is that the news is not as fresh, not as raw, and so therefore the Avelus is a modified Avelus of 1 day of Avelus.
For you it's raw.
Huh? Understood. Totally understood. Right? Correct. Again, I'm not going to make the attempt to give a psychological explanation of the Gemara over here. It's just for me, for us to think it out. But you're right. I'm not explaining the halacha based on psychology. But I totally agree. Ezi krova ve'ezi rechoka. So the Gemara says, what's the definition? Krova b'soch shloshim, rechoka la'achar shloshim. Okay, so the distinction between whether it's fresh or whether it's quote-unquote old news is 30 days.
So on the 29th day, you still have to observe 7 days.
Correct.
Yeah.
So Shadibir Rabbi Kiva Chacham Amomer Machashmo Krova Machashmo Rechoka and like a Shiva Vishloshim and that's Rabbi Kiva's opinion. The Chachamim say there is no distinction, right? I guess Dan, if you want to give an understanding of what Shmo Rechoka, I mean the Chachamim's position, we'll say like you, meaning the news is old, but for you it's quite fresh. So according to the Chachamim, it's always Shiva, it's always Shloshim. Amar Rabba Baruchan Amar Rabbi Yochanan Komakom Shatamotzi Yachid Meikov Verabim Machmir Malachik Verabim. Okay, so Rav Yochanan says, look, the halacha, generally speaking, is going to fall like the majority. And certainly in a scenario where the minority is Meikel and the majority are going to be Machmir, so we're going to take the side of the majority. Chutz Mizu, here's an exception. Sha'af HaPishu Rabbi Akiva Meikel V'chacham Machmir Malachik Rabbi Akiva. Okay, but here we're going to follow like Rabbi Akiva, De'am or Shmuel, because the Gemara gives an explanation, Halacha Divrei HaMeikel B'Avo. Because when we have a debate, the halacha follows like the lenient one when in the world of Avelus, so we adopt the position of Rabbi Akiva, and there is a halachic distinction between Shmuel Krova versus Shmuel Rechoka. Anecdote in the Gemara. Rabbi Chanina asked Shmuel de Avua mi Bechazai. Rabbi Chanina hears news about his father. Asked Rabbi Chista Amar le Shmuel Rechoka einon hegas al yom echad. Okay, and he says that's a Shmuel Rechoka. You learned the news 30 days after the Kfura, and so therefore Yom Echad just one day. Rav Nasan Bar Ami asked le Shmuel di imei mi bechuzai. He hears about the loss of his mother. Asked Kamed Rava Amar le Hare Amar Shmuel Rechoka einon hegas al yom echad bilvan. And again, only one day of observance. The Gemara quotes a Braisa, and the Braisa says that yes, it's one day of observance, but only for five of the seven relatives. Again, the seven relatives are, it's easy to think about in these terms, right? Two up, two across, and two down, and then a spouse. Right? Mother, father, brother, sister, son, daughter, and then the spouse. Sister only, she wasn't married. So anyway, so of the seven Krovim, Shmua Rechoka, one day observance of Shmua Rechoka is only for five of the seven. Only for siblings, children, and spouse, but not parents. For parents, it's always Shiva Shloshim, even Shmua Rechoka. Amalei Yechidai, he says, okay, that's a Braisa. That Braisa is a Das Yachid. It's one person's opinion. It's one Tana's opinion. But that's not the accepted halacha. The halacha is a Shmuel Rechoka, is a one-day observance for all seven Krovim. Did Tanya, the Gemara quotes the price of my soul, Meisav Vishal Rebbe Tzadok, Beginzak, V'hodiyu L'achar Shol Shanim. He was informed 3 years after the death of his father that his father died. Uvav Vishal Salisha Ben Avuya, who was the Kenim, and he asked Salisha Ben Avuya. I know none of us expected that name to come out of the Gemara. Right, he's Acher. Right, we're going to see this in Chagiga. I'm going to forecast about 3 weeks from now, right thereabouts. So, and he is noted as having been one of the four who went to the Pardes and came out a mess. Three of them came out problematically, and one came out okay. Rabbi Kiva. Okay, well, that's coming up in Chagiga. So, but anyway, so okay, but in other words, prior to that though, he was a Talmid Chacham. So it's. Okay, fine. It could be. All right. In other words, okay. Either way. So Vishal Elisha ben Avuya v'zekinim v'shamdu v'amru na'uk shiva v'shoshim. So he says to observe 7 days and 30 days. K'shemes benosha Rabbi Achia begolah yashav aloshav v'shoshim. And when his son died, so he observed shiva v'shoshim. Okay, but the point of the Gemara is making right now is that this idea that for your parents you're going to observe shiva v'shoshim even if it's a shmor rechoka, that's achid. It's one Tana's position.
Why didn't you count the Chumar for that? Because for the parents, you get like 12 months of Avilu, not 6.
That's a different halacha. I mean, in Gilbeis Chodesh, it's a different. You're right.
Why did you count the Chumar? I mean, if for a parent, compared to the other five, you do like 12 of us, 30.
You can make the argument, but at the same time, however, Gilbeis Chodesh. Okay, whatever. Yes. There's an argument that can be made, but the Gemara over here is going to conclude that Shmuel Rechok is always going to be one day observance. Any the Gemara says, now, let's consider the following. Okay, a complicated family tree, where basically Rav was related to Rabbi Chia, both from his father's side and from his mother's side. Meaning he's an uncle two times over. He was his father's brother, and he was his mother's brother. Now, if you're thinking, so how did, right, how did mom and dad get married? So it's, whatever, it's complicated. Right now, let's just leave it off as it's complicated. Okay, we saw this Gemara back in Pesachim, in the beginning of Pesachim, same Gemara. But anyway, Kisak Lahasim, so he goes up to Eretz Yisrael. And now he's sitting with his uncle, Amalei Abakayim, and he asks him the question, is your father alive? Well, your father, my brother. Right? Rabbi Chia says to Rav, so is your father alive? So Amalei, top of Chofam and Beis, so Amalei, so his response to him was, Ima Kayamtu, why don't you ask me about my mother? Meaning not wanting to directly answer the question, so he just basically says, look, ask me about my mother. Meaning, I don't want to say the words that my father's no longer alive, so ask me the next question. So Amalei Ima Kayamtu, is your mother alive? So Amalei Abba Kayamtu, so why don't you ask me about my father? So in other words, so without having to, he doesn't want to say the words, he doesn't want to say the news straight out, so basically he says, let's move on. So Amalei L'shamei Chosli, now Rabbi Chia at this point in time now understands that he's an Aval actually two times over, meaning he lost his brother and he lost his sister. So Amalei L'shamei Chlotzli Mina'ali, so he says to his attendant, okay, let's take off my shoes, and Holech Acharei Kelai L'Beis HaMerchatz, and we're going to go to the bathhouse. Now, in other words, it's well after the death. The Gemara doesn't tell us how long after, but it was well after the death. And he's going to be observing only one day of Avelos, and not even one day of Avelos. So Shema Min HaTlas, the Gemara says, the three conclusions, and they are, number one, Shema Min HaAvel Asa B'Nila Sasanda, that when you're an Avel, you can't wear shoes, which, again, is strange because that's one of the basics, and we knew that already, and right. Ushma mina shmur rechoka ina nohegas ela yom echad. Shmur rechoka is observed only but one day, and ushma mina mixas yom kikulo. And interesting that on that one day we can also use the Abba Shoa argument of that even part of the day is considered the day, and the Gemara says, and we know that because
he went to the bathhouse,
meaning he was going to take a bath, and you're not allowed to do that during Avelos. And he was doing it as demonstrative to show everybody, I will be observing one day, but not even one day, just partially one day. The only thing that bothers the Gemara right now is that Rabbi Achia says that you always observe 7:30, and meaning Rabbi Achia over here is observing only one day for Shmur Rechoka. The answer, very simple answer, we conclude today with this, Rabbi Achia Lachod, Rabbi Achia Lachod. You confuse the two Tanayim, don't confuse them, they are two different Tanayim, and Rabbi Achia over here is of the opinion that Shmur Rechoka is only observing one day of Avelos. Okay, stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up.